Everybody wants to know what I would do if I didn't win.
Here comes Aaron Gordon the other way. Gordon! Oh my goodness! Oh!
Circus shot. They will count it. Jamal Murray taking him to the schoolyard.
Jokic has to put it up. Falling away, puts it up.
Bang! Nikola Jokic knocks it. It's over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions.
Y'all want to do it again? Let's do this. Let's do this. Dynasty.
I guess we'll never know.
All right. Welcome into the Denver Stiffs Show. It is your hosts, Zach Mikosh and Gordon Gross, here with you on a St. Patrick's Day Sunday after a heartbreaking loss to the Dallas Mavericks. Gordon, Nuggets lose 107-105 on a pretty ridiculous Kyrie Irving buzzer beater. I haven't seen too many left-handed 20-foot floaters.
Right,
go down in my time. That was
no,
a tough
when
one.
They go, it's beautiful, but that wasn't exactly the plan.
No, that could not be what they drew up. I don't think Kyrie going to his left was, like I said, from 20 foot away was what they had.
Well,
drawn up, but it worked.
The play before that, like Luka had a 27 foot three
immediately off the inbound, like
right.
The Nuggets peculiar to closing shots for them.
Right. And I mean, the Nuggets were the ones that let it get to that point by playing like crap for 3.5 quarters. But
yeah,
still, I mean, it took a fairly large effort from Dallas in the last minute to beat them. So, you know, close game.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, in Dallas, right. You know, that's
sure.
That's a tough place to play. It definitely felt like playoff type atmosphere. Like there was that crowd was rocking. There, of course, you know, you would expect it with the champs in town and it being a Sunday day game. Like that's on St. Patrick's Day, a lot of families around and doing stuff. And why not go check out the Mavericks take on the Nuggets? You're right, though, that the Nuggets kind of let themselves get into this predicament in that. Really, I mean, to me, it was the offensive glass, right? Because it was a pretty back and forth. It was a fairly tight game the whole way through until really about maybe the start of the fourth quarter, maybe into third quarter, somewhere right in that area. It was the end of it was the second half of the third quarter, and then into the fourth. The offensive glass, the Nuggets were getting killed on the offensive glass.
Destroyed.
They could not secure a defensive rebound, even when Jokic was in there. They were struggling in it. And then when Zeke Nagy came in to give Jokic rest, it just got terrible.
I have
to
never
the point,
seen the Nuggets look smaller out there, man. Like they
right.
just could not grab any rebound like, ever. It was awful.
It's like yeah, like Derek Lively was like Shaq on the boards. Like it was ridiculous. Like they could not box him. This is what I could not understand. It's like why Derek Lively? I mean, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. And he's an athletic guy. And he's tall, but like. He's not like a huge, like, oh, my God, how are we going to keep this guy off the glass? It's like trying to keep Joel Embiid off the glass, right? Like, it's not like trying to keep Jokic off the glass. And yet, like, they flat out could not keep him off the glass. He got offensive rebound after offensive rebound. Or a lot of offensive rebounds like Luka and, like, Derrick Jones and, like, all their kind of, you know, bigger wings because they were crashing the glass. And the Nuggets were just way too content to basically just kind of stand there and wait for the ball to fall to them. You know, like nobody was boxing out. I mean, it was classic bad rebounding, right? You're not boxing out. You're not.
But another reason I was surprised not to see DeAndre, because Lively, he's not Shaq, but he's a legit 7 feet. He's not like 6'9", calling himself 6'11" or something. Like he's a legit 7 feet tall.
I think that's, you know, Malone being like, hey, I'm going to ride with Zeke. Like this is and to the most for the most part, like Zeke's been good and he was pretty good in the first half. Like he had a nice first rotation, but that man, he like it was so frustrating watching him.
He's just so small with the five.
He's so small
he's
and
so
then he also
with
but
the
like
five.
He's timid. Like he doesn't a lot of the times it seems like he doesn't on rebounds at least, it's like he doesn't want to stick his nose in there and just get in there and grab the ball. You know, it's almost like he's one of those guys I think is the most guilty of like waiting for the ball to come to him off of the glass instead of actively getting after it. And it just, man, like if you see a guy like Lively who is doing that, who's putting forth the energy and has got the length to do it, it you end up with what we end up with is Michael Malone calling a timeout and literally saying, I thought it was funny they replayed this. Because it was very clear that Michael's like, grab a fucking rebound. You don't have to be much of a lip reader to hear or to see what he was saying. They're actually like, yeah, let's cut back to Michael Malone and his anger in slow motion.
Fucking rebound! And I was like, yep, I'm with you, Mike. That's what I was yelling.
Yeah, exactly. I felt it.
Point where they cannot play Zeke in these moments. And like, I understand that they're trying to get everyone used to playing with, like, in the playoffs, it's going to be AG, who's similarly sized to Zeke.
Right.
So I understand that, you know, you're trying to get your playoff rotation set, but you don't want to overuse Aaron. So you're trying to be like, we're going to have a small five. You guys should get used to this. It'll be a defensive rotation. And you can't play your playoff defense with DeAndre in there because he's not a switchable guy.
No, yeah, like, exactly.
I get that that's what's going on. I'm not confused about it. But when your guys are getting just mauled on the glass, like, put the only 7-foot bench guy you've got in the game already. Like, damn.
Yeah, because Malone, he calls it when he's got the F and rebound timeout. He immediately benches Peyton Watson and Justin Holiday on that, right? So he benches the two forwards because he was like, I can't deal with this anymore. But like, he couldn't bench, you know, that timeout was like at the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter. He couldn't bench Zeke yet. He needed to get Jokic more than 2 minutes of rest. And so he stuck with him in there. I was with you. I was wondering, like, do you bring DeAndre in here just for like a 3-minute shift to be like, get this guy off the glass, like get us rebounds. You don't have to do anything.
Box out.
Get us rebounds. Yeah. Right, box out. Like, put a body on somebody. That was frustrating. And that's what led. I mean, Dallas built a double digit lead there in the fourth quarter before the Nuggets started knocking down threes and then coming back. They come all the way back. They actually have the lead. Right. It was 13 points. They come back all the way. Have a 3-point lead in the final 30 seconds or so of the game. In the final 30 seconds, I guess, because Doncic hit that. Hit that shot. What did you think of Jamal's? In some ways, like it really falls on. It doesn't. But Jamal taking a shot with 3 seconds left on the shot clock, right? That hurt him. Obviously, this Kyrie or Nuggets had the option. He was, and he just missed. You're absolutely right. But even then, it was a 2-point shot. Like you would still with 3 seconds left would have given the Mavericks a chance to take a final shot to win.
Right. Yep.
That was one of the things I was like, man, I would have rather him waited a little bit longer,
the Nuggets usually have excellent tip-in ability in the final minutes,
right?
Off of those things, they just couldn't grab a Jokic too. Was any good inside today with rebounding. No, well, maybe Michael Porter, but nobody else could grab a rebound to save their lives or the game. So I like normally if you take that shot, you're expecting, you know, Jokic to tip it back in. If you somehow miss it, but man, nothing. It was the first time in a while that I've seen Jokic be out of position on like every play. His screens were in the wrong spot. His rotations were in the wrong spot. He went to the wrong place to go try to get a rebound. It was just weird.
What I wonder about it is because Jokic is probably more so than any other player on this team is such a creature of habit, right? Like, and routine. Like, everybody talks about his, you know, basically his commitment to his routine is one of the major reasons for why he is so good. And so when you have a game with a 1:30 p.m. tip, 2:30, I guess,
right,
there in Dallas, how much did that affect him, right? You know, and how much did he not have his A game just because he was kind of out of his game. Weird stuff. This is just what happens. Like, weird stuff always happens in these day games, right? It's always something that you don't quite expect to come up. And tonight, or today, really was. Like, I noticed the same thing. I was like, man, this is not a good game for Jokic. And it's like, okay, so they had Daniel Gafford. We know that the Mavericks made a trade for him. But Gafford didn't play more than Lively played the majority of those minutes, it felt like, even though they basically played the same amount of minutes. But we also know, we've seen Jokic when Gafford was in Washington.
Getting a bunch of fouls, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point too. But and we've seen, I would say we've seen Jokic play Gafford one on one in Washington. That I believe is still the highest scoring game for Jokic this season.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm not worried about that. And like I said, Lively, like I said, he's not a guy. I don't think he's a Jokic stopper by any means. But like, man, the bigs on Dallas gave Denver some trouble tonight. Like it's a
well, I mean, if you're not going to call fouls, though, I mean
that was a huge part of it too.
Like, one of the problems is for the whole the whole first half. From like the very first play, Jokic is like, this man hit me three times on one play and you're not calling it. And, you know, Malone got a tech, Reggie Jackson got a tech. Like, yep. Jokic would have gotten a tech if Malone didn't get one. Right. Like, that it was a thing and they never addressed it. They kept just hacking Jokic until he stopped shooting. And that, I think, was my issue. That Jokic allowed himself to be pulled out of the game as far as, like, what he normally does commanding the offense. And he was willing to be on the outside just setting screens around the three-point line. And that it wasn't enough from him. He made his final three shots of the game, but he should have taken about eight. Like,
I mean, he was having a tough night shooting the ball. Like, him and Murray both, even though they ended up, like, both of them had some decent closes to the game. But, yeah, they were struggling throughout.
They were, like, six of 26 for their first shots. So it was brutal. To start, it's very unlike them. So again, this is and part of that was the fact that Dallas played extremely physical defense from the jump and figured, you know what, the refs can't call all of it, and in fact, the refs called barely any of it, so that was fine.
But yeah, the refs called still ended up calling 21 fouls on Dallas versus only 16 on Denver. I thought both ways there was the refs let a lot go. I thought it was a interestingly officiated game from that standpoint. But like you said, Dallas, I think made the best of it. So this ends up, I think, the series is 1-3 between the Mavericks and the Nuggets. Two and one. Nuggets win two, the Mavericks won. They only played three times
this year. Yeah,
but yeah. Yeah, they played back, and it's just because it's been a long time. The last time they played before this was December 18th. So now you kind of, if you look at this game, right, so the Nuggets win both of their home games. They won them pretty handily. Now you lose this game, a close game. Where do you worry at all, though? This is the first game you play the Mavericks post-deadline, right, post their Gafford and P.J. Washington trades. P.J. Washington did not have a good game, but Where does Dallas rank? Like, because this is a team you could very well see in the first round. Like, would you be okay with seeing Dallas in the first round? Or would they be at the top of your list of teams you'd want to see in the first round? Or would you have them, you know, somewhere? Or do you not? Or is this a team now, especially after you saw today? Are you like, man, you know, I'd rather not see the Mavericks in the first
round? I don't think Kidd can coach. So that's for me, in a series where you're making adjustments. Like, I ain't worried about them at all. Like, yes, Luka can score. And yes, when they hit their threes, they're extremely dangerous. Right. But this level of defense that they played tonight is not their standard. Like, that is not how they play. And I understand that they have new additions that are helping them, that they acquired specifically for this kind of a matchup. I get that. But that said, Jokic isn't going to miss all those. Murray's not going to miss all those early. Like, Aaron Gordon isn't going to blow a bunch of rotations like he did in this game. Like, this isn't a series that scares me. The Nuggets do struggle with speedy guards, so Kyrie is going to trouble them. But I don't believe that Kyrie is the defining factor for the Mavericks anyway.
No, but I mean, as we saw tonight,
Can't really
say he's clutch, like, and he's shown that in the playoffs before. Like,
he's a legit playoff competitor, absolutely.
Right. And Luka, like, I don't know,
but
like,
I don't think that he's additive with Luka. That's my thing. I think that they're both too on ball to be additive with each other. Like, Luka's not going to step back and just only take 12 shots because Kyrie has it going. That's not a thing that's going to happen. Yeah. So, like Jokic would do that if Murray was cooking. But Luke is not going to do that if Kyrie's cooking. So I think there's only so much they make each other better. It's just that for the Dallas matchup, the Nuggets match up well with Luka in the sense that they have a ton of big guys, as well as KCP, who defends Luka okay. But like MPJ and Gordon, even Peyton Watson, like you have enough long, rangy, annoying guys to make life hard on Luka.
Yeah, well, and the nice thing about
in ways
the way
that a lot of other contenders can't.
I would say the nice thing about the way Dallas matches up with you from that standpoint is they don't play an especially large forward pairing, right? Like they're going to put Gafford in there,
yep,
or Derek Lively at center, but they're not going to play those two guys together a ton. You do see a little bit when they put bring in right. Maxi Kleber off the bench, but for the most part, like if you're playing, you know, Derek Lively and Derek Jones Jr. as your two forwards, that means if you're the Nuggets, you feel completely fine, honestly, with having like Jamal Murray on Derek Jones. Like that's not a worry about you. And then that allows you to put KCP on Kyrie Irving, Aaron Gordon on Luka, and then Michael Porter Jr. right can cover your other forward spot. Even when you're playing two bigs, you can still switch Michael Porter Jr. over to a Maxi Kleber if you need to, and give you that option to put Aaron Gordon. Because I think the key to beating Luka,
well,
if you're Kleber's the Nuggets,
big, but he can't shoot the three, man.
And he's that like, he's not guy who's going to beat you up down in the post. Like he's not a
right.
He's not a guy that I'm worried. In fact, I would probably put Michael Porter Jr. On Kleber as much, because what Kleber's going to sit in the corner, right? Like that's the only thing he can basically do to you, yep, on offense is sit in the corner and bag threes. And you know what? He has killed the Nuggets in some games, sitting in the corner, bagging threes. But if you put six, but you can put, like, you're not worried about him putting the ball on the floor and blowing by you.
No.
You're not worried about him beating you with a bunch of fancy footwork in the post. Like, he's a perfect guy to put 6'10" Michael Porter Jr. on and just, like, be like,
exactly,
that's fine. You know,
and
so
you let him
close
out
that
to him. Like, that's the thing.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Then,
just
then
get
Michael
in his face.
And he can be near the basket to get rebounds, and then he can fly out to Kleber if Kleber's going to actually shoot.
Right.
Because you're not like Kleber shoots threes like Aaron Gordon shoots threes. Like if Dallas wants them to shoot threes, then you know you take that shot when compared to the rest of their offense. So I don't have a huge problem with any of that setup, honestly.
Right.
Dallas doesn't scare me. To get back to our point that we were talking about, Dallas does not scare me.
Yeah, exactly. He's Dallas is, you know, like I was saying, I mean, from that matchup standpoint. But I don't know if I look at the teams who are in the play-in right now. Like I would much rather see the Lakers. I think everybody would. Obviously, you've won.
I would take the Warriors too.
Eight straight, and I would not mind seeing the Warriors either. And like those are the two teams, obviously.
So yeah, out of the play-in teams, if we're getting like the, you know, if
it's
we,
just
if
would
we
you rather see? Would you rather
favorite,
see Dallas?
Right.
Would you rather see Dallas versus New Orleans or Phoenix or Sacramento? Right, like out of those teams,
right?
Where do you kind of rank them?
Right, and that's why I'm like between what Phoenix, New Orleans, Sacramento, and Dallas.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I would probably most want to see Dallas, probably, honestly, out of those.
Really? Four. Dallas? See, I'm
Phoenix. I understand that. But, Phoenix at least has guys that can shoot, like, that in the playoffs, you know that they can bring it. The Mavericks don't have a ton of playoff success that I would necessarily
I see what you're
be
saying.
Concerned about.
Yeah,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say yes and no. I mean, Kyrie Irving has a championship, so like there is like.
Yeah, but he also has a like I don't feel like showing up this week.
That's true.
Know.
He's true. What are you going to get out of him? That 100%. But like, you know, he has, but like we said, he's a playoff riser. Like that's the time when
yes.
You can expect him to play his best. Luka is still in a fantastic.
Luka's a monster. I love him.
Luka is fine. So like comparison to me that those two guys versus KD and Booker like probably pretty close. I don't know, because the thing is I watched that Phoenix game today and like the Phoenix their offense is just so bad. Like it's just
bad.
It's just like one pass and shoot constantly, like time after time after time. And then like today, if they don't play any defense, then they're just completely cooked. And so like
I would say those are probably my lower two on that would be Phoenix
I feel like that
Dallas.
I would hear you.
I could say Phoenix over Dallas. I could see that.
Right. But I would rather see one of those two teams over Sacramento or New Orleans.
And part of that's because Sacramento just keeps whooping us for no good reason.
But honestly, like Sacramento is probably the team I want to see least because, as you said, Nuggets struggle with quick guards. Like Sacramento has probably the quickest guard with the ball in his hands in the entire league. Plus, they also have a fantastic big to at least try and counteract somewhat of what Jokic is doing. Plus, they have an absolute flamethrower off the bench, right?
And they can make threes. They have a very functional offense. If the Nuggets start bricking and they start making, it's going to be a little awkward. I'm not worried about them, but I think they would give Denver a better matchup than some of these other squads.
Right. And New Orleans is from a size
wild card.
They're a wild card, but from a size standpoint, they do match up fairly well with the Nuggets because Brandon Ingram is also a very long, big, small forward like Michael Porter Jr. is not quite as big, but he's in there.
He's still got the height and the
and the length and the shot. Zion is every bit of the beef of Aaron Gordon. That's a huge matchup. And then Jonas Valanciunas is a good strong big center to go up against Jokic. I think they've got a good
and they've
good
got matchup. They've got Herb Jones.
They've got McCollum. They've got so many defensive wings with Herb Jones. They got Jose Alvarado. There's another one I'm missing. There's a third wing on that New Orleans team who's really good defense. Who was the other one? Gosh darn it. Well, anyways,
Najee Marshall maybe.
No, Najee, he's another one. He's not the guy I'm thinking of, though. Why can I not? All right, now I'm gonna have to go look at the roster.
Like I said, man, they've got a ton of dudes that they play really well. They
Trey Murphy, that was the other guy I was thinking.
There you go. Yeah, but they get a ton of steals. They take care of the ball, and they have pressure that they can give you from all three levels of the court. Whether you're doing transition stuff with Zion. Whether you're trying to make threes, honestly, their 3-point percentage is huge. They don't take a lot of them, but they make a ton. So the Pelicans, I feel like would be annoying. The Kings would be slightly less annoying.
The Kings are probably the my least desirable of all those teams we've talked about. I would rather not see De'Aaron Fox.
I got you. It's the little guards, man.
He's literally the best. And we saw him in the last game that the Nuggets played. All right, I'm just gonna win this game because these guys flat out cannot stop me. Now, granted,
can't get in front
Denver
of me.
Denver didn't have KCP for that one, right?
But that's why Alvarado would annoy the shit out of me because Alvarado is 6-0. But
he has killed the Nuggets before.
He's a goner, and he's exactly the kind of player that causes the Nuggets no end of grief. Because they just don't have a little guy defender.
Right.
Their guys are too big.
It's hilarious. Exactly.
But Christian Brown is 6'6". KCP is 6'5". So these little 6-foot-nothing dudes just run right by him.
Right. Even Jamal Murray is 6'3". And Jamal Murray
he's
reached
like
out for a 6'4 and a
half.
Yeah, exactly.
Kid.
They really they don't have
– just watch me thin,
they need,
right?
They need to give Jalen Pickett out there for those guys. But Jalen Pickett also sometimes looks like he's got cement in his shoes. So you never know. Same with Colin Gillespie. You're right. They don't have. Reggie Jackson is probably your best bet.
You don't want to be making that bet.
If you're counting on Reggie Jackson to be your best defender on a guy, you're in a bad spot. So
That has to be at that point. It's a team setup where you're just trying not to make the gaps too big and let them get you in mismatches.
Right.
But it's the little guards are the ones that annoy Denver. Not really enough to beat them in a series, but definitely enough to piss them off.
Steal a game or two, make it go six.
Yeah. To be irritating, to make it a longer series than you want for the first series of the playoffs.
Right. Yep, I'm with you. I think that's for me, I think it's from least desirable to most desirable is probably Sacramento, then New Orleans, then probably Dallas, then Phoenix, then Golden State. than the Lakers.
Right. I thought
most
right.
likely would like to see the Lakers the most, but we'll see.
Well, the Lakers would just be fun because I've had fun punking them all year, so it's okay.
Well,
to
do that's just what time. It is. Like we've won 8 in a row against that team. Like they can't right. beat us. They flat out can't beat us.
It's same with the Warriors. Like the Lakers and the Warriors right. haven't got what it takes against us. They just and it's just it's a matter of build and the age and the way those teams are set up. Mm-hmm. But right. like the Warriors are too small to handle Denver.
Yep.
And the Lakers are too inept in closing situations.
Right. Well, like, they got a star big who flat out like doesn't. It shrinks from the challenge of Nikola Jokic. Like you got to call what it is. Like Anthony Davis is supposed to be arguably the best player on your team at this point, right? He should be right. the best player on your team at your point. I don't think he is. I think 39-year-old LeBron James is the best player on your team, but like it should right. be Anthony Davis in the prime of his career right now. But when he faces off against Nikola Jokic, like he shrinks. You switch Rui Hachimura onto him, without even going a full game because he's getting cooked so bad, right? Like that's when everybody talks about like the Rui Hachimura adjustment. What people forget is like they made that adjustment because Anthony Davis was getting shredded,
destroyed,
so,
right?
So like it's kind of one of the reasons I don't have as much belief in Minnesota as a lot of people is because like it's the same thing with Carl Anthony Towns. Like if that's the guy who's supposed to be one of your right. guys, then like give him to me every time in the playoffs because I know the Nuggets will just smoke him. You know, so that's why
we were talking about playoff risers earlier, and right. like Anthony Davis had the yeah. one playoffs in the bubbles where he was a riser, but for the most part,
yeah, the one play when he'd only been playing for 2 months, like or you know it was right. only a two when month he was rested, he had to play
when yeah. he was rested, and so it's once he's been ground down a bit, it's easier to lean on AD and get him to do what you want. Right. You're asking LeBron with an 82 games under his belt yeah. to have enough for a really tough playoff series, right?
Right.
You're just happen. Asking like, it just, a lot.
It's just not going to happen. It's that's not that. Which is why, like I said, I would take that team above all else.
Right.
In the first round. All right. Let's kind of. Well, I guess we're going to move on to it, but I'm going to stick because we're talking about like who we're going to play as the 8 seed. Nuggets now, of course, sit in the second seed after the loss today, a half game back and a game back in the loss column now, to the Oklahoma City Thunder. A lot of talk about the Nuggets in the one seed, like they skipped. Chris Haynes said that during one of those national TV games they skipped the trip to the White House because they were focused on the one seed. And then Malone said, no, that's not really what we're doing. And he's reiterated like health is the most important, but then at the same time like now he's today they reported during the game, yes, he said that health was the most important, but also they are still recognizing the value of the one seed. How important is the one seed? Because essentially what we're probably talking about right here is the Nuggets will obviously have home court in the first round. Maybe in the second round, maybe not, just depending on how that shakes out between the 2-3. If you end up as the 3 seed, you could very well not end right. up with home court advantage. So what we're really talking about, right, is home court advantage in the Western Conference Finals. Like, do you see it as something that is vital for this team that they really should be focused on getting on, or does it, as long as they just get there healthy, it doesn't really matter 1-3 where they're at?
I don't think it really matters. I would like them to be the 2 seed, not the 3 seed, obviously. Right. But the Nuggets they're not guaranteed a top 3 seed, but with the way that the Clippers have been.
Yeah, but they're 4 games
it's
up.
It's pretty close
now. Like, yeah, it's getting pretty much down to the wire.
Right. If they'd won today, it would have been
14,
yeah.
4 games up with 14 to go. Like, yeah, it's pretty.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So like, top three is pretty much set, and it's just a matter of what the order is in.
Right. It's just who's going to win the Northwest Conference. That's really
yeah,
the Northwest
yeah.
Division. Like that's what it is all about at this point.
Well, and so in that sense, I don't know if you're going to be able to catch OKC. That's really up to OKC. Honestly, it's not up to Denver.
Right. Denver's lost that
OKC
tiebreaker.
Has to stumble. Well, so they lost the tiebreaker and they're now a game back. So they're 2 games back.
Right. So you're basically two games back. Yeah.
So you need OKC to trip.
And I think OKC's schedule to close out is not the roughest, to be honest.
Well, neither is Denver's, but
they do have a big East Coast road trip.
Well, you know, but again, this is where you see who has it down the stretch. Like I said, I don't think it necessarily matters that the Nuggets are going to be home court, because the Nuggets already, I mean, they went into LA and won twice in the playoffs last year. They went into Phoenix and they downed Phoenix. They went into Miami and they beat Miami after Miami beat them at home.
Yeah, that's right.
Like it's not, they're not afraid of the road. So I don't have to, and not to mention Minnesota. So I'm not afraid of any sort of road situation, but it makes the series longer. It makes you have to grind more to be, rather than being able to go up 2-0 at home and then say, okay, haha, good luck. You know, you have to then steal one early and then grind your way back. And
looking at these schedules, I wouldn't actually say the Nuggets have a more difficult schedule to close it out than Oklahoma City. The Nuggets, the difficulty, if you look at like any metrics regarding difficulty of schedules, the Nuggets is somewhat going to be skewed because they have three games against Minnesota, right? Like that's going to
Right there is going to determine who's 1-3.
Honestly, 2-3 seed. Yeah, or at least it's going to determine that if the Nuggets don't want to be the 3 seed, then win 2 of the 3 games against Minnesota to at least split that series. Remember, the Nuggets did lose the first game against Minnesota, but if you could at least split it, then you would go to division record, which I don't know where they would stand in that. But I guess we see here real quick, Nuggets division record currently 6-5, Minnesota 10-2. So you're not going to beat that. You're not going to win that either. So you're going to have to win basically. Right. You're going to have to, if you want to get this tiebreaker against Minnesota, you're going to have to win those three games against Minnesota. So that's really, if you can do that, you know, which is a tall ask, but two of them are at home. You've got this one that we'll talk about here in a little bit coming up this week in Minnesota. And then the last two are going to be at home in Denver. If you can steal this game in Minnesota and then get the two at home, you know, secure the tiebreaker, then you basically not 100% guarantee, but you pretty much are guaranteeing yourself a 2 seed, because one, not only do you get the tiebreaker, but two, you also get, you're going to put three games of distance between you and Minnesota by directly beating them three times. So, you know, that's really where that seed will be decided. Whether or not Denver finishes ahead of Minnesota is entirely in their control, and it essentially just stands on those three games that they're going to play against them. But other than that three games against Minnesota, like, the Nuggets don't play a ton of good teams. Like, you know, you get the Suns in there, you got a road game against the Clippers, but there's a lot of like the Grizzlies, the Spurs, you know, they got both of those teams twice. They got another game against the Jazz coming up. Like, they got the Trailblazers at the end of this week. You know, there's a home game against the Hawks. Like, there's a lot of very, very winnable games left on their schedule. So they absolutely have the ability to just go out, take care of business, you know, because if you look at, okay, what are the, you expect them, you always expect, even though it doesn't always happen, but you always expect the Nuggets to win at home, right? So if you look at what are the road games left on their schedule, you've got the one coming up next at Minnesota. That's the toughest road game on their schedule, without a doubt. The other road games left on their schedule, Trailblazers, Jazz, Spurs, Grizzlies, and they do have one game against the Clippers. That would be the other tough games. They only have two road games left that aren't against clear lottery teams. I don't know. I think they can definitely get the one seed. How important is it? You know, I think top two seed is important, because not only one does that get you guaranteed home court advantage for two rounds in the playoffs, but also guarantees you one of those play-in teams, right? So you're gonna get a team who's already been basically fighting to secure their spot. Obviously, at the 7 seed, you're more likely to get a Dallas, a Sacramento, a New Orleans than you are a Golden State or a Los Angeles. So the 1 seed is ideal from all aspects. But I think if you get the 2 seed, you probably feel fine. And if the 1 seed is Oklahoma City, one, you're not going to sell me too much on Oklahoma City getting to the Western Conference Finals even as the 1 seed. I could absolutely see Oklahoma City getting the 1 seed, getting a first round series win, and then losing to the Clippers in second round. Yep, 100%. Because you're going to be going up against a team with a ton of veteran playoff experience, and a ton of talent. That
look out, playoff P. He'll take you out.
not so much playoff P. But you do have a Finals MVP on that, a 2-time Finals MVP on that team. Who looks healthy, and you do have James Harden, you do have Russell Westbrook, like you do have a ton of guys who who are not going to be playing their first playoff series, which is basically right. almost the entire Oklahoma City roster, right? So that's a key difference. I could totally see that happening with.
Yeah, well, and I agree with you on this on the two seed. Like for me, it's is it important to get the one seed? No. Should they definitely be trying to get the two seed? Absolutely. Because again, that's under your control. The two seed, you play Minnesota three times. So like, right. if you win all three of those games, guess what? You're probably the two seed.
Yeah. So, it'd be very hard. But, you'd have to really drop the ball to not end up being a top
yes.
seed in those three games.
So for me, it's a matter of the one seed is not within your control. That's whether or not OKC stumbles. But the two seed you can get. If not, that means you get the three. And then you have to play the six,
right?
And then you have to go on the road in two series in the West just to get to the finals, where you'll also be on the road probably,
right? Almost guaranteed, you know. Which in some point, ways,
yeah,
you know, if Boston makes the finals, they're going to be home court no matter what. Like I don't think anybody.
No, what, yeah, you can't Boston. Stop that.
Right.
Right.
But
what I'm saying is, you don't could very well be on the road for three straight series.
Milwaukee, right? You could end up falling behind the yeah. Milwaukee, who's in the two seed, and then end up over there in the East and end up being on the road. Yeah, I agree. I think that's where it is. Because the other thing, too, is obviously now if you're in the three seed, now you are against a you're guaranteed you're getting the Pelicans or the Kings or the Mavericks or the Suns.
Yep.
Like, and probably, you know. Probably not the you can probably almost at this point Pelicans are 2.5 up on those other three, like they're almost to a
right.
point where it's like
I think the Pelicans are not, pretty yeah, much it
might,
yeah
they might be definitely in and they could fall to six. Now if they stay where they're at, right, if none of those teams can catch them, the Pelicans sit at five and you're not worried about probably falling all the way down to the four seed. But
like I said, just it's the Nuggets have almost locked up a top three at this point,
right,
just based on right. probabilities, but
right, just right, exactly. So that is that's kind of where they stand. So I guess that's a good way to segue into this next section, which is to talk about the upcoming game here on Tuesday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have, you know, it's a big one as we have been talking about, you know, as the if you lose this game, you essentially lose the tiebreaker, right? Because like we said,
yep.
With that division record that Minnesota has, the division record the Nuggets have, like it's you're currently 3.5 games back in division record. If you lose this game, you would now be 4.5 games back in division record.
Right.
And you know, it's just you don't have a ton of division games left, like other than the ones against Minnesota. I think really the only one left is I think they have one more against Portland. And then that's it. Yeah, that's the only other division game they have left. And the Jazz. They got one game against the Jazz, too. So you only have two other division games left. So if you can't get this game here on Tuesday, you are essentially putting yourself in a scenario where you've now lost the tiebreakers with both the Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder, which does put you, I think, in a much more precarious position to get the three seed. That being said, if you lose this game, you will be, I guess, I don't know, Minnesota's – right now, does Minnesota play tomorrow? Are they on a back-to-back for this game?
That's a good question.
Yes, they are. Minnesota's – this is a game you should absolutely win. Minnesota is going to be at Utah tomorrow night, and then they fly home to play Denver. So Denver will be in Minnesota before Minnesota is there.
And Denver also is pissed off about losing this game. So,
right.
After you have your ass reamed by Malone for 2 days – about the fact that you couldn't do anything fundamentally correct.
You couldn't grab a fucking rebound, as he said.
Right, and you're going to a game against a team that's going to try to out-rebound and out beat you up. They're going to try to out-muscle
right.
you.
Right, that's right. Like that's the MO is
right, Minnesota. So you played a game like that against Dallas, and you didn't come up with the right answer. So now you're going into Minnesota, which is better at that. And now the question is, are you guys going to suck it up and get better? And so I do expect the Nuggets to win this game against Minnesota. They've just had experience with that. They didn't play a soft, easy game. It's not like they're coming from playing the Wizards or something to come into Minnesota. Like, they're ready for the physicality. They know what's coming. They've played Minnesota plenty since the playoffs last year through this year. They know this team. And Minnesota's in a back-to-back. So y'all better get it done. Like, this is one of those championship man-up kind of moments.
Right.
Get it done.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because when, the next times that you're going to get Minnesota, you'll actually get them on a back-to-back again there towards the end of the year. So, like, you've got – but this is the one that's on their floor, right? Like, this is –
yes, this is their home court. Yep.
For when you're saying, hey, you need to win three games against the third seed in the conference, like, that sounds like a tall ask. But
right.
When you consider that, okay, well, two of those games are at home. One of them is the home game where the other team is coming off of a back-to-back. But then you also consider this road game right here is off a back-to-back where the Minnesota is also flying from west to east and losing time, losing an hour overnight. Right. It's a game where it's like, yeah, you can't really, it's a must win game. It, at least in terms of, seeding, if you're fine being the three seed, then fine. You know, it is what it is. But if you think that the Nuggets need to have a top two seed in the conference, this is a must-win game.
Now, understand, if the Nuggets finish and they are guaranteed, like if they blow this game and another Minnesota game, let's say, and they know they're going to be the three seed with a week left, and they know they have a couple game cushion, I could absolutely see the Nuggets shutting it down. I could see them doing what they did last year and just kind of like strolling into the playoffs and pissing everybody off. And making doubters of the whole league again right before they pick it up and flip the switch. I could see that. But if they have a chance at the one seed, they're not going to do that. So, like, this kind of not only determines the seeding, but also how the Nuggets finish the season and what their goals are to finish the season. Yeah. Whether you're just trying to get to the playoffs and be healthy and you know, chill a little bit and recover, or whether you're trying to grind the one. Like, this is... A lot of stuff is about to be set up for Denver based on how they perform in the next couple games.
Right. And it's kind of interesting. The stretch run has been they've played a lot of like big national TV games. And they've had obviously some great success. But this is the first time I think that they're playing a game where it's like from the Nuggets in, like this is a huge game.
Right? Yes.
Like there's been a lot of like huge games from a national TV perspective, from an NBA on the whole, like, you know, Nuggets versus Celtics was obviously off. A lot of people think as a finals preview. So that's great. But like in terms of the Nuggets getting to the finals, whether or not they won that game against the Celtics, not a huge like game. This game against the Timberwolves for the Nuggets, I feel like this is the first one that's like I said, it's a huge, huge game for Denver.
Well, the Nuggets didn't have many of these last year because, the Grizzlies included. The Nuggets really were just like, they were in place the whole season. They were just kind of jogging down the finish line. Like, this is a different experience than what they had last year where, it's a regular season game in March, and it is a, like, game seven of the Western Conference Finals type energy that you better come out with.
Right.
So we'll see if they do.
Right, because we've seen that time and again. For the Nuggets when that they go to these games, like we saw today against Dallas, like that was a huge like playoff level atmosphere game. But it's kind of interesting in that for the Nuggets, I wonder if sometimes they almost get taken aback by the energy in some of these opposing arenas because it's like, yeah, this is just a grinding through March game for them. But for a lot of these teams, like, you know, it's been big as you expect, right? Fans are really starting to pay attention now.
Man,
March.
They were right. But they were on the court, like mobbing everybody after this win. Like they had just taken a playoff game from us. Like it was a big, big deal.
That's what I'm saying. It's it was a huge game for Dallas, right? As well. Because like Dallas, as we've been talking about, is in that, they're in that dogfight right now to stay out of the play-in
they want to not be in the play-in, absolutely.
Right, which is essentially now, like we've been talking about with New Orleans getting a little separation, you might basically be three teams playing for one spot. So you've got that, plus, like I said, if it's the defending champs, right? They come in.
You're
going to be extra hyped for that. But when you are the defending champs, right, then it's just like, and you have to keep going. It's one of the things that people talk about, like the challenges of repeating, right, is like you're going to get the best shot from everybody because it's a huge game for them. And for you, like we said, it's just a grinding through March type of game. But that I don't think is the case for this game against Minnesota. I think this game against Minnesota, everybody's going to be locked in like, hey, this is a huge game for us. We need to win this. We also have something to prove, right? As a team, this team we've only seen once. They blew them out, or the Nuggets got blown out by the Timberwolves. right? The Timberwolves have, by and large, basically been the one seed up until maybe the last couple of weeks, week or so. Everybody's talking about them as the team who maybe has the formula figured out to beat the Nuggets because they've got, you know, they had, well, I mean, until Karl Anthony Towns got hurt, but they had the two bigs. I mean, they still have Naz Reid, right, who's also a big that they can play next to, I guess I haven't paid attention next to the Minnesota's. Like, how do they, and they have, I mean, well, Gobert was out for that game against Utah, too. I'm trying to figure out
what. Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, the Wolves have been, like, they're what, 6-4 in their last 10 or something? They've won a couple recently. But
But it's just everybody at the top, as you expect, at the top end of the conference, like everybody, 6-4 is not going to get it done, right? Like, you got to be 7-3 and 8-2, basically, throughout your 10 game sets. I was just trying to figure out.
Yeah, it's important. Okay. And they've struggled a little bit, and that's just partly because they're, like, they lost a chunk of their offense.
Right.
You know, and the way that they play. But it's also a matter of, like, this is where it gets hard. This is the tough part of the season. If you've been ahead the whole season, what have you got down the stretch? And now we're going to see from both them and the Nuggets, what have you got down the stretch?
Yeah, yeah, we're going to find out. Like, we'll find out which one of these teams really does deserve to be – be the higher seed. And
one, the funny part about it to me is that, like, neither team wants to show their hand in terms of here's how we're going to play you in the playoffs, but also you got to win the games. So
right exactly.
like you might have to show your hand to win the games and let them learn some stuff for playing again potentially in a couple months.
Yeah, I mean, it's but again, that kind of comes back to what we've been talking about. Like, what is your philosophy, right? If it's how important is getting a top two seed to you versus being the three seed? Because if it's not that important, then maybe you do just play some
basketball. Yeah, you just don't show it. You treat it like a preseason game, and you're like, whatever, man. Like, I don't care. Three seed's fine. But I can guarantee you that Malone has never thought that way once in his entire life. He's not going to start now. So I wouldn't expect the Nuggets to think that way either. Like, there have been times that Malone has absolutely never shown his hand, but he has never been okay with losing a game. Ever. Right. Not one time.
Well, I can think of one time.
Game the one time they threw
Portland
the game.
Trailblazers,
the seeding game,
Right, they threw for seeding purposes, 100%. That's right. And actually, there were some games in the bubble, some seeding games in the bubble. I remember I was pissed at Malone because he definitely threw one of those because he didn't care.
Yep.
Which I guess in hindsight, with it being a neutral site playoffs, like probably he was probably in the right mindset there. Anyways, we don't have time to talk about to go back to the bubble run on this show. Let's move on to the following game. Speaking of maybe being a bit personal. The only other game, they only play this team twice, so the second game this season against the New York Knicks, if you remember, the Knicks basically probably might have been
demolished.
The biggest beatdown. Yeah, it might have been the worst loss the Nuggets had all season. Last game of our long East Coast road trip, they got absolutely crushed by the Knicks. Is there concern there that you might, like, this game might be another one? The Nuggets could suddenly potentially, you know, say they drop the game against Minnesota, then they could almost... They're staring a three-game losing streak in the face because the Knicks are in town.
I would be more concerned that the Knicks would be the return letdown game after the Timberwolves, kind of like playing the Kings after the Lakers. Yep. That would be my concern. Is it's the first game back, and you're like, they're coming to us, so it's our house. We can relax a little bit. Plus, we just expended a huge amount of emotion in the Minnesota game. So that would be my concern. But no, obviously if they lose the Timberwolves, they could obviously also still lose to the Knicks. I just don't expect that to happen. It would be more likely that I would be concerned after a win against the Timberwolves than after a loss against the Timberwolves.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if you lose the Timberwolves, you're going to come home and be pissed off and be a little bit desperate, and take it on, take on that challenge of being the Knicks. Whereas if you win, you're right, I could see more of a letdown. I mean, the Knicks are a good team. Like, it's
Knicks
not
are a good team.
You know, it's not a team. It's not your older brother's Knicks, right? Like, these, there are certainly a quality team who has the ability to beat the Nuggets, as we saw earlier this season. But I'm not buying that game as, like, you know, anywhere close, even though, yeah, it was a 122-84, absolutely got crushed. I'm not buying that game as really anything to take.
It didn't mean anything. And Randall, as far as I know, is still going to be out. He's not doing anything for like another 3 weeks or something. So,
right.
Like, right. For me, the Knicks don't have that extra scoring punch you would need in Denver. And they don't have the size and rebounding either. So,
right. Isaiah Hartenstein has been.
Correct.
This season, like, yeah, I'm gonna stop short of calling him a Nikola Jokic stopper, right?
Right, yeah.
Be a guy out there who I'm terribly concerned about, and then otherwise the Knicks are gonna play very small, like that's especially with missing
but
Randall.
Again, quick,
like,
guards drive us right. crazy.
Yeah,
so.
Jalen Brunson, yeah, for sure. For
I mean,
sure.
When you saw that game the other day where I think it was Brunson who like faked a pass or faked a screen was coming. And then just like blitzed to the rim in like 0.01 seconds. Like, it's just, he's incredibly fast.
Right.
He's a great finisher, and it's the kind of thing that Denver has historically struggled with. So, like, I don't expect the Knicks to be an easy game, but I also don't expect them to be able to keep up with Denver, that Denver will just pull away at the end.
Yeah. I would expect Denver to be a team to have what it takes to win that game, hopefully regardless of what happens in Minnesota.
Yep.
Like, it should be. If the Nuggets have been very much all business, now they've lost two games since the All-Star break.
The Nuggets have lost two games since the break, but they lost one of those games by letting someone else go on like a 23-1 run against them to get into overtime, and they lost the other one by going down 13 and giving up the season high in offensive rebounds.
And losing on a left-handed.
And losing on the last second lefty hang shot, like, from 20 feet.
Right.
Like, these aren't bad. Like, they played bad, but they aren't, like, getting beat down. There are no Knicks-level losses in the second half of the season.
Right, exactly. And so that's why I would think I would expect them to win that game. Regardless, and I would expect them to win then the game that they will have there at the very end of this week, which would be I believe at Portland, I think is where they're gonna end up
at Portland. So they have a home away thing going on,
right, but Portland's also garbage, so you know there shouldn't be any sort of issue with that. You never know.
I would say 3-0 this week, but my guess 3-0. Is 3-0.
Gordon with a 3-0. That is optimistic. I like it though.
I'm 3-0, but like I watched the Nuggets and how they've been, and I know they take these kind of losses personally when they know that they should have done better. So I expect them to take it personally against Minnesota. I expect them to defend the home court personally, and I expect them to take care of business personally against the Trailblazers. So 3-0.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. The Blazers game is one that they've shown us like where you can't always be concerned. Right, about is this team going to fall into the trap on a trap game?
Right.
They beat the Raptors. They crushed the Jazz. They, you know, crushed the Blazers. They crushed the Wizards. Like, every single one of those games that we've seen so far since the All-Star break, they have absolutely responded as you would expect. I mean, the Toronto game, a little bit shaky there, but...
the thing is when you're so much better than another team, it's hard to keep the foot down for all four quarters. I get it.
Right. Yeah, and that was the same case with the Utah game. Too,
exactly.
Right? But the Utah game, they were out way in front, whereas Toronto, they fell behind and then crushed them in the second half. So, it's either way, though, they found a way. I would expect them to do the same against Portland. Portland is in full-on, like, let's just get to the end of the season.
They would like to get to the draft, actually, if you don't mind.
You think Chauncey is still coaching Portland next season?
Probably not.
See, I feel like you got to give him at least one more, right? Like, you had to know, because you traded Damian Lillard this season. So,
I mean,
like,
that's true. That's true. You knew they were going to be bad. It's just matter of whether you think Chauncey's making their guys better.
Right.
That's the thing with Chauncey is I can't see that he's making the young play. Like, if you have a bunch of young players and you're only going to have more, how much better is he getting you? And is Chauncey the guy you want, you know, getting Scoot to be where Scoot needs to be? Because that's your future. If you can't make that work, you're set back another 3 years easy.
Right, yeah. So... I mean, what was Scoot? Was he the second overall pick? No, yeah. Third overall pick. Yeah. So, I mean, and Scoot's a guy, I think he's hurt now or something. He's playing. But not like he's a guy who, you know, for the third overall pick.
He's playing, but he's scoring like 10 points a game, man. Like,
right. And I was going to say, right. And for a guy who was the third overall pick then, and as hyped as he was coming out, you know, a lot of people were like, if it was any other draft, he would, you know, a lot of people would have considered him for the first overall pick. It would have been him or Brandon Dillard.
People talk about him like Kyrie.
Right. And so
right.
for him, and he's nowhere, like he's not in the rookie of the year conversation at all. Like Brandon Miller is not really in the rookie of the year conversation that much either, but like Brandon Miller probably ends up third, right, in rookie of the year voting behind Wembanyama and Holmgren. Scoot Henderson's not going to end up fourth. Like he's going to end up
right.
Really not like he,
well,
maybe
Scoot
not
even started half
votes.
Of games.
Right.
Like that's my thing with Scoot is like if that's your future, he's your number three draft pick.
Right.
Like if he's not your future and you try and get another future in this draft, which is not a great draft for that. But I mean, anybody can pop in this draft. There are some decent players up at top. Don't get me wrong. It's just that there's no Wemby in this draft.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's no guy who's guaranteed to be number one. And so, you know, Portland could get a very good player. It's just that do you want Chauncey raising them up? Is that what you hired Chauncey to do? And if not, then you need to get somebody who's a teacher of young players to come in and teach them, even if he's not the guy that can lead you to a title, because you've got to raise up the young players. You're going to have a bunch of them, and you better figure it out. So for me, I don't expect Chauncey to be back. I don't really think that's his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Like you said, they expected this to happen. They knew that, you know, when they traded Dame, it was going to be a thing, but he was hired to coach Dame, not hired to
rebuild,
you know, rebuild the franchise with some 19-year-olds.
Right. Which is definitely where they're headed. I mean, you got Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, yep. but I would be, those are two guys I would be surprised if they're on, and Malcolm Brogdon too. Like
those guys got to get
all three of those guys are going to be on your roster start next season. So. All right, well, we'll go ahead and we'll wrap it up right there. Then make sure you guys are following us on Twitter. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Gordon is at GMoneyNugs. Follow us at Denver Stiffs, also at Mile High Sports. We will be back down at number 38, not this Friday, but next Friday, the 29th. The Denver Nuggets in that game, I believe, are matching up against the Timberwolves. So there you go. A Minnesota Timberwolves divisional showdown at number 38. Make sure you guys come by and check us out doing giveaways. We will be doing a live post-game podcast. We will be having great drink specials and food at number 38, as always, and a great place to watch the game. Stiff's Night Out there on March 29th at number 38. Make sure you guys come check it out with us, 7 p.m. tip off. Mr. Gross, it is a pleasure as always, sir.
You bet. Let's hope for that 3-0. That's what I need this week. Give it to
me. Here we go. 3-0. Let's go. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week.